nurturing, supporting, and developing talented, creative young people is absolutely fundamental.
And I'm very pleased to welcome David Ponton here today. Hi, David.
Michael, how are you doing? Great to be here.
I'm all right. And thank you for making the time on a Saturday morning. I know how busy you are. Why are you in on a Saturday, by the way?
So we run a Saturday Rock School program for 11 to 16-year-olds. And it's taught by our third-year degree students and our master's students. About 80 to 100 young people.
And who funds that? Is that paid by parents on the time, or is it, do you get funding?
No, unfortunately, we don't get funding. So it's heavily subsidised, but we just run it because it's important.
Yeah, yeah. The philosophy that you have, how have you developed that philosophy then? You come on a Saturday morning to give you time. I mean, how have you built that up over the years? A labour of love, obviously.
Well, the whole of Platform One College of Music is a labour of love. What we found is the Saturday, what's called that 11 to 16 age range, is absolutely critical in getting young people into music. So they get formal instrumental lessons, and then we work towards that, and then we put them in bands, and they work towards gigs. So it kind of kickstarts that age range. You know, they need really strong role models, and the team that run it, like I say, are third year degree students, incredible role models. I mean, Beth Brookfield teaches on it. You know, what an amazing role model for.
Yeah. And do you want to explain who Beth is, just for everybody who's watching it later on in the week?
Beth Brookfield is one of our second year degree students at the moment. He's an incredible talent, a singer-songwriter, doing really amazing commercial releases, played main stage Isle of Wight Festival last year, started to do quite a lot of gigs around the South Coast. But yeah, she's amazing.
She is. She's truly remarkable. And she, without embarrassing her when she listens to this, but she was in the office yesterday, in the Isle of Wight office, and she was talking to Mark, and she submitted an article for the website. And it's that really incredible maturity. I mean, I'm 56 now, and I'm still a work in progress on my maturity level. But compare me to that 21, I bet she's what, 20, 21? And that level of maturity, plus she's got a really nice personality, and, you know, she knows what to say at the right time, and she was submitting articles to the website, so she could get a balance of what the music industry meant to her from her rights perspective, from her IP ownership. It's quite remarkable. And you're asking her, like, where her parents are from. Is there a long history of parents from a middle-class family who have got? No, it's just this kid who's just been blessed with this talent and a maturity beyond her years. Sorry, Beth.
You're absolutely right. She is a superstar. I think that's really fundamental as well, that it's not, the music industry is not just about being able to play a musical instrument or write a song. I think, and you know, Platform One College of Music, the teaching here and the learning here is about, you know, is that broad spectrum of how the industry works, how it's all put together, and then that allows you to navigate into the industry. And I think that's where a lot of musicians struggle and a lot of bands struggle, that they're great at what they do. It's like being an incredible chef trying to run a restaurant without understanding business. And Beth's true testament of that. She's interested, she understands it, she knows how it's all pieced together.
Yeah, and my experience of dealing with young musicians is the lack of, oh, don't worry about it, it'll work itself out, and I'm not interested in looking at any paperwork. And it can be extremely daunting. You know, you get these American contracts, as you know, better than most, and they're 90, 100 pages long, you know, and really, you really need to focus on two or three little areas, which is, but everything else is just boilerplate and just nonsense that no one ever reads. Forgive me for breaking the secrets, but there's four or five key clauses which maybe need some time, but the rest of it is just standard. So there is that, oh, it's going to be all right on the night, and don't worry about it. And generally speaking, it takes a bit of balls to address it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's absolutely essential. And I liken it to, we train our students, you know, we coach our students into actually understanding the business of music. And then when you understand the business of music and you're good at what you do, you can navigate your way in whatever direction, not just performance, but you can navigate into that industry. And it's, you know, it's totally achievable. Yeah.
And going back to, so the Platform One success, as we are 2023. I'm sure you're bored with telling the story, but how did it all begin there? How did you make this thing happen?
So I've always been a musician. I grew up blessed with doing loads and loads of music across loads of different genres. And then I've always had a passion for education. I went off to do a 4-year bachelor of education. And when I completed that, it was very evident that I couldn't fit into any sort of mainstream school. It just wasn't for me. So
any particular reason? Any standout reason?
I think the frustration of the model of education. I trained as a secondary school educator and actually found on all of my placements the politics, trying to run a music department in a secondary school is a massive challenge because of budgets, resources, spaces, and sometimes the commitment that music isn't an ascent, it's a nice bolt on curriculum subject, but actually it's so much more than that. So when I finished teaching, I was in a band doing quite a lot of stuff, but I set up a recording studio, commercial studio that I run for 6 years. I was doing a lot of commercial stuff, but what was really evident, it was based on the Isle of Wight. There was loads of young bands coming through that needed support, they needed nurturing, they were all skint. So all of my commercial jobs subsidized really cheap sessions, pre-production recordings, mixing, putting stuff out. And I invested a lot of time into young musicians and supporting their aspirations moving forward. And I suppose in a way that naturally my passion for music industry, recording, production, all of those things, and my passion for education just kind of, it evolved into actually there is a need for a music college on the Isle of Wight. And so my brother Peter came back, he was working abroad, and we just conceived this idea of setting something up. And in the early days, it was all over the place. We were just utilizing different spaces, throwing it all together. And then we managed to secure a building in Newport on the Isle of Wight. It's the same building now, but we try and evolve. And so we built an extension and quite a few years ago with rehearsal rooms, purpose-built rehearsal rooms. We're desperately in need of expanding. That's our next kind of phase of development. So if there's anyone out there that wants to write us a blank check, I'm absolutely fine. No worries with that.
I'll send this to some more of my wealthier clients. And it must have been fairly daunting, though, for you to be able to. I mean, how do you get something like up and running, funding? I mean, you've got bodies, young people, the responsibility. I mean, where do you begin? I can imagine a porter cab in lieu or something, and you sort of build up from there.
To be fair, it was like that. We just picked a few buildings, rented a few little spaces, and it evolved very quickly. Because there was such a need for it.
How would you go and get funding? Anyone's listening?
Peter and I invested in it personally through bank loans, really. We got a little bit of support, but certainly not enough. And then we just try and evolve it every year. We've got some amazing endorsement deals, sponsorship deals for equipment. Some really strong key partners out there in the industry, which makes a significant difference. So, and we're always looking to develop that.
So you started, what year did you start?
So 1999. So we are actually, 23 years old, which is crazy.
Yeah, so I was 2001, so just two years after you. And how many students now have you got on the books?
So we have, obviously, the Saturday Art School I spoke about 80 plus on that. And then we run post-16 programmes. So rather going the sixth form, you'd come to us, study full-time. And then we run through University of Chichester, which has been a partner of ours since 2006. We run a BA Honours Commercial Music undergrad, and then we run a Level 7 Masters, which is a Music Industry Innovation and Enterprise programme, which is a kind of conduit between being a graduate and stepping into the industry. So on all of our full-time programmes, we've got about 150 thereabouts students.
And they're mainly mainland or overseas or UK mainland?
On the degree, it's predominantly young people that are resident on the Isle of Wight, but we do get, and historically we've had mainland applicants. And I think that's significant. I mean, we have students that live in London and actually choose to come to the Isle of Wight to study commercial music, which is a real, you know, it shows you that actually London is not the mecca of all things music industry anymore. You know, and that I take a real pride in the fact that people will come to the Isle of Wight, which is a beautiful place, incredible place to study, you know, incredible infrastructure for music. You have things like Isle of Wight Festival. There's just so much heritage and so much music here. So it's a great place to come. And I think that's been part of our aspiration to put, I mean, Platform One run the only full-time degree to ever run on the Isle of Wight. And I go into meetings and people go, yeah, we should be doing higher education. I'm like, yeah, we've been doing it since 2006. And I think, you know, that's really important to the economy of the Isle of Wight, to actually put up the Isle of Wight on the map as somewhere that you can go and study a degree.
No, incredible. And it must be somewhat frustrating for you as well when you have conversations with that, with not necessarily the powers that be, but, you know, people who have influence who sort of don't really recognise what you're doing. Is that because you're just not considered to be a normal educational establishment like a normal school? I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but, you know, it's music. Oh, what the hell, it's only music.
I think there definitely is a bit of that. You know, and it's about capacity, about being able to kind of shout about ourselves more and kind of put ourselves on the map. But then it swings and roundabouts because we are, you know, there's been a massive amount of funding spent on education across the island, you know, millions and millions of pounds. Yeah. And actually, yeah, if Platform One had £1 million, we could expand, we could build, you know, we could actually create a new space, we could increase capacity, we could do so much with it. And I see money being hemorrhaged a lot, and it is very frustrating. And where we're a small independent organisation, you know, a lot of that big capital funding we can't access. It is very frustrating. And then you obviously have to run the day-to-day.
Are you robbing Peter to pay Paul often the case? Or are you nicely solvent and everything's fine? Or is it every case of every month, oh God, we've got to find this?
Well, I mean, it's always been a challenge because education funding goes down every year, the expectations go up every year, and all of the periphery stuff is really significant. So we're having to be, in effect, a college, we're having to be a university, but it's, you know, it is a challenge, yeah.
And in terms of what's out on the mainland, how many other institutions are on the mainland like yourself? There can't be that many. I know of Guildford.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all of your kind of FE colleges that run some of them run music departments. You've got your universities, but there are two or three kind of much more bespoke specialist, music colleges that are a bit more kind of dedicated, but Platform One is an extremely unique model because we're not tied into being this enormous institution. You know, if we want to paint a wall green, we paint it green. If something breaks, it gets fixed. You know, if we want to invest in a £60,000 console, we make it happen. And so we can be very, very reactive to the students' needs, but also to the industry. You know, we can change curriculum. We can go on tour, we can, you know, be innovative, we can be radical, we can be, you know, push the boundaries. And that, I think, is a really difficult thing to do when you're tied into a big institution.
Yeah.
So I think Platform One is an extremely unique model in the world of music education. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting. There's a new really amazing music college in Brighton. They're just about to set up another one in Sheffield called Waterbear. They're good friends of ours, but they recently did an article to say that Platform One was the lead in music education across the UK. And again, people on the Isle of Wight, because they don't know any different, I don't think there are people that actually recognise what they've got on their doorstep. Yeah,
right. I mean, that's what I've taken since I've known you and since I've been aware of Platform One. That's what I've taken from it. And having met the staff and the students, it really is something that needs to be shouted about significantly more. I mean, we all know the island. Many people may not know this, but the island is quite a poor place economically. It does fall way down on those economic issues, and those children who do fail at the normal school, I presume that the platform one fits them perfectly for them.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. If you look at the government's index of multiple deprivation, you know, the Isle of Wight is ranked 11, you know, in the most deprived areas in the country. Yeah, and you know, people think that it's all gloss and, you know, this beautiful island, but, you know, young people on this island need opportunities. They need sustainable careers, and the interesting thing about being able to run a degree on the island is that a lot of those students, those graduates that are really talented, stay on the island and are running really successful, sustainable businesses. I mean, Claydon Connor is a great example. He's a graduate of our Set Up Strings music venue, which is the only commercial, proper professional music venue on the island. You know, and
you play there regularly. I don't mean you per se, but the actual school itself is there regularly, I see.
Yeah, it's something that I always wanted to support Claydon in the development of strings. So we use it as a teaching space. We teach live sound, event management, lighting, you know, and then we run a program called Platform One Presents every single Wednesday.
£2 to get in, I saw the other day.
Well, yeah, you're right. Two golden nuggets. That's 50p.
I was lurking in the background.
Were you? Did you come
I was.
Down?
I was. When? I was only there for about an hour, but I just got back from work quite late, so I left London, so I got back to the island about 10-ish. So I got the bus back, because being the executive that I am, and I thought, oh, look where I am. And I just popped in.
Oh, amazing.
I had two quick pints, but very impressed.
Yeah. No, it's great to be able to put our students into a professional context, which is great. And then there's other graduates. I mean, there's five secondary schools on the island, and four of them have got Platform One graduates teaching in there. You know,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's you know, Studio 5A, which is a professional studio that is a graduate. Yeah, and also students that have gone into the wider creative industries. You know, because our curriculum is extremely broad, so we have students that have gone into the much more sort of media side, social media side, video production, event management, working at festivals. You know, so it's not just about performance. It's also, you know, equipping students for what everyone goes on about in the music industry now as portfolio careers, where they're doing lots of different things.
Yeah.
And that's really critical in terms of sustainable, you know, income.
And I would have thought as well, that type of opportunity for, you know, 11 years onwards to be involved. You know, like, I'm often criticised for saying to people when I give talks, look, if you really can be anything that you want to be in that particular area. And everyone said, oh, that's really unfair. It's impossible. You can't be an astronaut. Now, of course, if you want to be an astronaut, you may not reach astronaut level, but you may work in the research and development part of NASA. You may get an area in that area which you can feed off, but you're not going to hit the astronaut. You may not be a high court judge, but you can be a solicitor or a trademark attorney. And it must be the same with you. It's encouraging. It's giving young people confidence to that you can do this.
I wouldn't do my job if I didn't truly, with my hand on my heart, believe that if you want to be an astronaut, then have that as your aspiration. You want to be a successful musician or a successful producer or whatever. It's just, you know, it's defining actually what is success. And I take massive pride in, if a student came through us, all of our programs, came out the other end, they are going to be employable, they're going to be resilient, they're going to know themselves, they're going to get work. I don't actually really care whether that work, if they end up going and working, you know, a completely different job, I know that they're ready to do that. But I also know they're going to have music in their lives. They might do a couple of gigs on the weekend. They might have that passion for music, which will enrich their lives forever. So, you know, and part of Platform One is not about music education. There is a big part of Platform One that is about personal development, well-being, mental health, resilience, you know, and actually understanding who you are so that you can kind of navigate your way into your life, you know, in a really sustainable, happy way. And I think just music is the icing on the cake. It's the vehicle that we use to educate young people. Yeah, that's the nice bit.
Yeah, and I've heard you mention Chichester a couple of times now. So I just explain, because is that the same? Because when I was at Southampton Institute back in the 90s, they had degree awarding powers at Trent. Nottingham University had a degree awarding powers for the Southampton Institute, which subsequently became Southampton Solent, which now has, of course, can award its own degree. Is that the same? Chichester is a university that's been affiliated to you that awards the degrees under your under your wing, under your umbrella, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly that. So when we had the aspiration to start doing higher education, we didn't at that point have the authority, the power, whatever you want to call it, to validate degrees. So I spent a long time researching different universities. We approached University of Chichester. University of Chichester is old school. It's one of the oldest universities in the country. And they are very student focused, much smaller uni. They've got about 4,500 students. And actually, I liked their care of students. So we set up a partnership in 2006, and then that's evolved. We've got a really amazing relationship with them. So the students study at Platform One College of Music on the Isle of Wight, but they are actually graduate with the University of Chichester. So it's really robust. They graduate with a University of Chichester degree or a University of Chichester master's. So that partnership is really important. It also means that we don't self-quality assure ourselves. Yeah. So the university, as you would expect, the academic standards, the quality is looked at all of the time. So it means that we've got external organisations that look at us. I wanted to have that both post-16 and on the higher education stuff.
Go on. And I was going to say, presumably, if you brought that internal, then you'd have to build up another section of the institution for the bureaucracy of running the degree. You'd have to bring staff in. You'd have to have quality control. And it would have its own headaches. Well, you've got Chichester overseeing it. As you say, it's been around a long time, as you say, one of the oldest. And it gives you that comfort that you need.
Yeah, 100%. And it also means that I think organisations that self kind of quality assure themselves, it's very easy to kind of go, yeah, well, okay, we keep that little bit under wraps, or we manage that, or yeah, okay, we let that slip. But actually having a solid university behind you just means that there is, like I said, a really robust quality assurance, which is great.
Yeah.
And they love Platform One.
I know. I was thinking that when we were deciding on what we were going to do, if you can remember that far back, I think we were about 5-6% of the population that went to university. I mean, I was, without being a working class hero, I think there was 2 in my year who went, maybe 5 who went to university. And my brother went, he was the first one to go in the whole family. So that sort of had a knock-on effect. I've also found with the University of Southampton, that where we are, that we've tried to, you know, encourage a lot of ordinary folk to become solicitors or legal execs or trademark practitioners or go to the bar. And we've done about 70 or 80. And we don't go out of our way in recruiting working class people or ordinary folk. It's just the way it reflects who you are as a person, that you sort of recruit those people. And that we don't really get the credit for it when you think about the ratio of students going to university and getting jobs. And something that you mentioned earlier about you guys, what you're managing to achieve and the successes seem to be going under the radar. And I can't fail to mention the two issues. I've got the festival and then Wet Leg. People don't realise about how big Wet Leg are at the moment. And really, they're completely, you know, thankful to the Platform One, really. Obviously, they've got their own talents and they've got their own special skills, but without Platform, it's unlikely Wet Leg would have happened.
Yeah, and I mean, that is, you know, there's the astronauts. Do you know what I mean? They are the astronauts. They are dominating the world. Yeah, two Grammy Awards, two Brit Awards, you know, four nominations.
Just imagine what you're saying here. You know, you've got these guys who are breaking every world record in the book at the moment, and they're from the Isle of Wight. I mean, it's just, I don't know, don't mean that rudely to all islanders, and I live here and I love it, but it is quite bloody astonishing.
It's unbelievable. And I mean, we're doing an alumni event in March. We've got four of our graduates that are just completely smashing it in the music industry, you know, and they're coming down to do a seminar. So there are so many incredible stories of alumni out of Platform One. You know,
would those be, if you don't mind, David, who would those four be? I'll put up a little sheet at the end of this so people can see where Platform is, where Strings is. So we'll do a little compendium of...
Yeah, and I'll send you this, because if this goes out soon enough and anyone wants to attend, I'm absolutely happy for that to happen.
Include me on that one, please.
So on this, there's Henry Davis, who's the producer and writer. He's managed by Common Knowledge, but he got a placement in Moloco at the end of his third year on the degree, Moloco Studios, and he's absolutely smashed it out of the park. He's just doing incredible. He's been curating fashion shows for Louis Vuitton, wow, like around the world. He's got writing credits on amazing albums. He's doing amazing. Then there's Fifi Holly, who's an artist manager. She works for September Management, but she's worked with Adele. You know, she's just incredible. And I got her a placement at the Isle of Wight Festival as artist liaison. And it's really like setting up the dressing rooms, looking after the artists, you know, sorting out riders. And she went into that and just went, look, why don't I run a night shift? And I get a little team, which was a team of Platform One students. And Kaz, who is at the top of the tree of the artist liaison, it's her thing. She went, oh my God, I've never even thought about that. She went, yeah, leave it with me. I do 11 to 6 o'clock in the morning. Kaz went off to bed. Fifi smashed that, sorted every single thing out. Kaz got up in the morning and went, everything's done. She went, yeah, that's the purpose of the night shift. And Kaz was so impressed with her that she gave her loads of other placements. She ended up working at O2 as artist liaison. So every single artist or anyone performing at O2, Fifi was the first person that they met. She then went off and did assistant tour managing for various acts. And then landed herself a job, quite rightly, with September Management. And she's travelling around the world, you know, just having a great time. Then there's James Pinfield Wells, again, took up a placement at Moloco. And he's now really humble guy, really hardworking, incredibly talented musician. But also a really talented engineer, and he really focused on both those things whilst he was at Platform One. And he's now an engineer, producer, writer, and just doing incredibly well. And then there's Lottie Field, who she was in an amazing band when she was at Platform One called Paper Romance. They played a main stage Isle of Wight Festival. And then she went off, networked her way into the industry, which is a big thing we teach students, like that networking skills. And she's now the booking manager for Moloco. And Moloco have got a massive chain of studios. Yeah. But but she also creeps in every now and then and says, oh, do you need a session vocalist? I can do that. So those four are coming down on the 17th of March to do just a kind of tell their story. We're going to interview them, and that's open to the public, but also Platform One students. And that's at Cafe Isola in Newport. So if anyone's up for that, just message us and we'll sort out tickets.
Put me down for that. And but in terms of the wet leg then, and I don't want to be, you know, banging the drum against wet leg, but just explain to me again how that phenomenon took place and how surprised were you all or not?
Well, wet leg, there's five people in Wet Leg. The two main ones are the two women, Rhiann and Hester. But the rest of the band, out of the five, four of them went through Platform One.
11 to 16 or dipped out?
So Rhiann and Hester did our post-16 programme. Ellis, the bass player, actually started with us when he was 12 on Saturday Rock School. And then he did our two-year program. Then he did 3 years on the degree, graduated with a BA Honours Commercial Music. Then he stepped into another band that are doing really great, which are Platform One students as well, called an artist called Lauren Hibbard. He started playing bass for her, and she's doing incredible. And then stepped out and got into, when Wet Leg started to go out live, he joined their band. But they were always extremely driven, extremely creative. And when they were, I've got music on my computer here that Rhiann and Hester did, which is phenomenal. I should release it, really, but I won't do that to them. And then they just grafted. They just creative, spent time developing.
When you say grafted, what does that mean in terms of the music industry? I mean,
it's about the tricky thing in the creative industries is setting your own agenda. So it's very easy, and a lot of musicians do this with all due respect. It's like anything. If you're establishing a business, you get up and you get on with it. You don't lie around going, well, maybe one day we'll get signed. Maybe a publisher will knock on our door. Maybe, you know, no one is going to come to the Isle of Wight without a reason. So they worked on their craft. They wrote songs, they performed, they recorded, they demoed, they networked. And actually, interestingly, the person that sort of was instrumental in putting Wet Leg into the industry was another graduate of ours who's extremely talented, a guy called Mike Champion, who's in a really great project called Champs. And he left Platform One in his third year. He did a commercial project, which got him a publishing deal because he's a great writer. And he actually kind of, they were all really great friends. And he introduced the whole kind of Wet Leg writing team, Hester and Rhiann into, he sort of stepped them into the industry. And he managed them in the early days. Obviously, when it started to explode, you know, he stepped out of that because it was just out of his capacity, really. So it shows you that you navigate and I always say to the students that if you're not in the game, you're not in the game. If you sit around as a musician or a songwriter or a sound engineer and you don't put yourself into the industry, you're not going to get anywhere. And a lot of bands do that. They just go around the houses, do the little gig circuit, expect everyone to pick up on it without doing the work. And it's rather like, you know, if you trained to be a plumber and you got yourself a nice van and all the tools and all of the qualifications that you need to be a plumber, and then you sat at home going, I have really hope someone will phone up and book me, you're not going to get any work. And so what Wet Leg did is they just worked really hard. Yeah. And I have a mantra at Platform One: work hard and be nice to people. You know, be a radiator, do not be a drain. They are my two.
Oh, I like the last one. I may nick that one.
Well, it is so true. And I say that to students. It's like, walk into a rehearsal room as a, you know, radiate energy. Music is energy. Be a radiator. Yeah. Energize. Don't walk into there and suck all the life out of it. Sorry, I'm late. The bus, you know, get there early. Be prepared. Yeah. A rehearsal room is not somewhere to learn songs. It's somewhere to rehearse the songs you've already learned. And actually, that if you are a radiator, you are going to get work in the industry. And you know that. Like, I mean, Liam Chessel came to you and he's a radiator. Yeah, he brings an energy. And so
you're in London now. He's gone to London to build his marketing career. Everyone loves him to bits. But you're right. I mean, he's blessed with that. You know, he's got that in-bed confidence. And if you must have seen so many, certainly I have in my time, seen so many people who've turned up who could barely speak. I mean, I get a bit of a stammer, always have had. And, you know, I've had to leap over that over the years. And it's part of me now. And some of the kids I've had over the years, they literally couldn't speak. They were that nervous. But now the Notary Publics, the senior solicitors at Vodafone, they're at Adobe. Yeah, and it is quite, it does actually, when you, and you're still in touch with them, you know, you get a couple of texts and there'll be a, you know, a baby on the way or whatever. And you see them 10 years later, and it is quite remarkable when you, and they would never have that opportunity because, understandably, the big boys and the big firms wouldn't take them on because they can't speak properly or they don't know how to address. They need 2 or 3 months in their environment till they feel safe again. And then they can start developing and being their own people. But no one gives them that opportunity.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that is what you do. You do what I do. You make them feel safe. You give them a safe space to be themselves.
Yeah.
All the rest of it falls into play. We had a student started with us 6 years ago. His levels of anxiety were so high that he could barely get into the building, right? And he couldn't speak. He wouldn't go to classes. And I won't say his name, but I would just say to him, don't worry about it. Just if that's
ready. When you're ready.
Yeah. And then what I used to do is put notes and interesting things in the corner for him to read. And about 2 months later, I put a note in the corner and said, would love to see you in my class. And he walked into my room and he hasn't looked back since. And he is now a third year degree student and his playing is profound. He's an amazing songwriter. He's absolutely phenomenal. And there was, another one as well is a guy called Charlie O'Rean, who, check him out on Spotify. He's absolutely incredible. If you take, Wet Leg's most prominent single, Chaise Lounge, has had, I think off the top of my head, last time I looked, maybe 43, 45 million plays on Spotify.
Yeah.
Charlie O'Rean wrote a song in his bedroom, recorded it, mixed it, mastered it, put it out there. He has had 65 million plays.
Wow.
65 million plays. And this was a young lad that started with us who was, you know, he was a bit of a rogue, but a lovable rogue. And he worked solidly. Like, first year, he was like, who on earth am I? Second year, I get who I am. Third year, I'm a singer-songwriter. Let's do this. Just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. He's got a publishing deal now. He's off to LA to do with a writing team in a couple of months. Yeah, phenomenal. Check him out, Charlie O'Rean.
Sets me that in a lovely way. I just find it quite exhilarating that there's still people like that and you around that can do that to achieve that. And there are hundreds of people like yourself up and down the country who don't get the recognition that they deserve. They're not in it for that anyway. But in terms of the one would have thought, obviously not Wet Leg or the management team or the record company, I totally get, you know, they're too busy. But, you know, have you had a positive impact on the marketing and the strength of Platform One as a consequence of Wet Leg? Have you had, you know, politicians on the island? Have you had council? Have you had businesses jumping up and down saying, this is a remarkable institution, we should be doing more with them?
Sadly, the answer is no. You know, there was a little bit of a trickle at the first. You know, I did something for BBC, but, you know, that was a 10-second segment. Yeah, and actually, you said it early on, there are people out there that need to recognise that actually nurturing, supporting and developing talented, creative young people is absolutely fundamental. And there is, you know, that we're in hard times, but there is money out there that gets spent that actually could make a massive, massive impact. And the Isle of Wight, really, you know, Wet Leg and the success of Wet Leg and loads of other graduates, loads of other students that have been through Platform One. Platform One should now be recognised in terms of capital investment, so that we can build a brand new, much bigger college moving into the future. The Isle of Wight can create astronauts, but we can also create everything else in between. You know, like you say, the researchers, the educationalists, the businesses, you know, and that whole infrastructure. The Isle of Wight should now be massively on the map. We've got the, you know, we're really fortunate in that we have the heritage of the Isle of Wight Festival, but that's one piece of the puzzle. You know, and actually, you know, we need that investment right now to sustain and to at this moment in time, the planets have certainly aligned, and this is the time for Platform One to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a unwillingness to invest in any outside the norm and endeavours. But am I able to do that? Is Lord Its Solicitors able to say, we'd like to sponsor a room or a studio, or we can pay for the paintings, or we can pay for laptops? Or it's a tiny, tiny little thing I can do. But Wet Leg is an incredible precedent for what we can achieve, or what you can achieve for the young people. Yeah.
And I really value your support. And, you know, we're just starting that relationship. But you bought two laptops into this building, and they have gone to two students that couldn't afford them. And it made a significant difference.
Yeah.
You know, significant difference.
I hope it worked.
Well, I had to sort them out.
Yes. And they were knockoff. No, they weren't.
Yeah. And but you know, I think you're right. I would love to have a building, a significant new building, with a Lord It office in it. You know, with Isle of Wight Radio in it, with an Isle of Wight Festival office in it. You know,
why can't you have a hub in the same way? I mean, we're just as talented, just as smart as they are in San Francisco. Why couldn't you have a music hub on the island that had a you know, a whole little village area dedicated to the creative industry?
That is exactly what we are working towards. Yeah, and my frustration is, you know, there are educational establishments on the island that have had millions and millions of pounds of funding. That is exactly what we need.
Yeah.
And one of the aspirations for Platform One is to expand into the wider creative industries. Yeah. And because then there is synergy between music is the core, but you do event management, you do production, you do marketing, you do education, you do law, you do all of these things connect. But the umbrella is the creative industries. And that has been an aspiration of Platform One for a very long time. We're moving ahead, but it's frustrating because one tiny catalyst in terms of funding, you know, when Platform One first set up, we struggled, right? You know, Peter and I did the cleaning for the first few years. You know, we developed something that was important for young people, important for the Isle of Wight, important for the economy. You know, I was in the council chambers in probably 2001 in front of all of the councillors, telling them that a festival on the Isle of Wight could have a significant impact in young creatives, nurturing young creatives, but also the economy of the Isle of Wight.
Could you explain that to me? Because the festival started, I'm slightly ignorant on this, but it was a 60s thing. I mean, I've seen pictures of Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix came to the island. And then did it stop?
68, 69, and the 70 was the big event that became unruly. They put the gates down. People were walking around naked in fresh water.
They've never recovered.
You could get away with that in Scotland, but at that point, the Isle of Wight Council put in a festival act unique to the Isle of Wight, which established that you could not have a gathering of that without a license. So no one got it over. Like, it just 1970s. It just never happened, and it didn't happen again. There were attempts in the 90s, but it didn't happen again until the Isle of Wight Council used to have a kind of periphery department called Wight Leisure. They decided that they wanted to put on a music event, so they did a one-day event called Rock Island. But they booked some of the acts because obviously John Giddens, who's one of our patrons, actually was the conduit at the booking agent, and he booked some of those bands for Rock Island and put some of the infrastructure in place. It was at Seacloth Park, one-day event, Rock Island. They ran out of beer. It was, and that evolved, John Giddens built that relationship with the council and then took on the contract to actually run what is now the Isle of Wight Festival. So that would have been, off the top of my head, I might be wrong on this, 2002, I think.
Relatively new phenomenon then in terms of the... And so that's been a huge asset to the island. And you've got a good relationship with John and with the festival.
Yeah, and in 2002, John became a patron of Platform One. And ever since then, Caroline and John Giddens have just been super, super supportive. So we have had, from day one, we've put a band on main stage, and they get treated like any other band. They have the full experience. We also have what is now, it's been different concepts, but for the last few years, we have a Platform One stage, which is a really nice big top, incredible stage, incredible sound. We do a real job on it, and that's in the main arena as well, which is amazing. And we put on probably between 40 to 50 young artists over the weekend.
Wow.
Last year we had two bands on main stage.
Well, what's the qualifying criteria for that? Obviously, you must be quite good, but I mean, who decides who's good? Is it competitive?
Yeah. What it's done from day one is raise the bar. It's actually made, it's like the ultimate quality assurance, because every young band, every young artist wants to play a major festival. You play a major festival, you get, you hit all of the criteria for PRS membership for the rest of your life. Actually, to play a major international festival on your CV is phenomenal. So it's totally, totally raised the bar. And we have different processes. We have a system in-house at Platform One for Platform One students, but we also open it out much wider. And we have a music industry showcase called White Noise. So it's not a battle of the bands. It's an opportunity. It'd be great to get you on the panel, actually. It's an opportunity for bands to actually showcase original material, but then they get feedback from an industry panel. So they get advice, guidance, and then the panel select which bands they feel are going to benefit the most and are ready to actually play the festival. So it's not something where you can go, all right, I want a free festival ticket, I'll chuck a band together, and there you have it. It's actually, you have to have done X amount of gigs, you have to have your socials up together, you have to have original music, you have to have recordings, merch, so that actually when they play the festival, it's massively beneficial to them.
But it's connected to the plumbing analogy that you made earlier, that, you know, you'd be a radiator, not a drain. And so you're doing all these things now for when it happens, you're going to be in a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also about them taking some pride in what they're doing. You know, they're playing a major festival, so they need to be a proper act. They need to be ready. They need to be solid and, you know, have original music. But what the festival has done is allowed us to, you know, there's a mechanism now for us to be able to motivate musicians in order to put all of those pieces together, rather than being a band that just throw a few songs together, go out and play a pub. They are having to be proper working bands, you know, with an image, with all of the infrastructure, which is much, much more than just writing a song.
Well, listen, David, thank you so much for the hour this morning. And from my perspective, and just if you mention it to your students and to your staff, I've got contracts coming out of my ears you can have for nothing.
Amazing.
Whenever you need me, I'm there. Yeah. Just, you know, get the kids to use and abuse me in a positive way. To, if they want to come and spend time in the Isle of Wight office or the Southampton office, we've just taken a little office in London as well with a Spanish guy who's a musician as well and a Colombian musician who wants to get involved with us. So any work experience guys who want to have time, please send them my way. Get me over there more and let me do more for you if I possibly can. I won't be in your face too much, but anything you need, just shout, please.
Michael, that is so, so appreciated. You know, I what Laudit are doing is the catalyst of change. You know, what Laudit are offering is exactly that partnership working, you know, in a meaningful way, is exactly where Platform One is at. And it's amazing to have you on the island now and for your support. It's really, really appreciated.
Thanks again, David. I hope to see you next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you take it easy. We'll definitely speak. All right.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Mate. Bye. Bye.